Right. This case here is an interesting one for me. It's described as the war underground, and the reason is because the engineers had a number of tunnelling companies. So they would tunnel underneath the enemy lines to create routes through for troops to advance, but also they created large cavities underneath the enemy positions where they would place lots of explosives, and they would destroy the German positions that way. The reason why it's called the war underground is because the Germans were trying to do the same thing at the same time. Often the tunnelling parties would run together, yes. We have, in another section of our museum, we also have the medal galleries, where we show our Victoria Cross winners, the highest award awarded to the British Army. A famous tunneller that was awarded the British Cross would be Sapper Hackett. He died heroically while trying to save people from a tunnel that was caving in. So it's a very, very sad story, but he's a big hero in the Corps. As you can see here, we've got a few of the maps that were used to kind of show the workings of the tunnel companies and the locations of the different tunnels in the network of tunnels. And they were all given code names here.
Chester. Yeah.
So, yes, just to throw the enemy off in case they were captured.
Ja, ook tunnelbouwers deden. Dat deden ze dus ook bij de Sint-Troepen. Niet alleen bruggen bouwen, maar ook dus inderdaad graven. En dat deden de Duitsers natuurlijk ook. Dus vaak kwamen ze elkaar bijna tegen. En dit is ook een interessante hoek om te laten zien. Op de achtergrond zit het geluid wat ze erbij gemaakt hebben om je een beetje in de sfeer te brengen. Uit de sfeer van de Eerste Wereldoorlog.
This is another really interesting case here. One of the big developments in the war was gas and chemical warfare. So the engineers were not only tasked with retaliating and using gas and chemicals ourselves, but they were in charge of kind of protecting the army. And as you can see here, we have a bit of an evolution of the gas masks, the things that we use to protect people from the chemicals in the air. And you can see they sort of range from this hood, which is simply a hood with two eyes cut out, very, very basic. We then have very, very cumbersome sort of headgear with large glass frames inside. Eventually, you move to the box respirators here, which look a bit more like the gas mask you would have in World War II. You can see at the back here, this large tube is what the engineers would have launched some of the gas weapons with. Another interesting object here, the engineers were trained to recognize different types of gas. In these small tubes here, the engineers have a little residue of the smell of different types of gas that they could learn to recognize as sort of training. So I find that interesting. Also here, we have on the right, this red object is part of the Livin's flame projector. This was a huge flamethrower that was an experimental weapon used by the engineers to burst fire on the enemy positions. So a lot of experimentation and improvisation with the engineers and technology in this period. They look quite a sight, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the PH hoods, the hood that you can see there. Very, very early.
Gewoon een zak over je hoofd, twee gaten erin. En, of het een beetje beschermde, dat weten we natuurlijk niet. Je kent allemaal de verhalen van de soldaten die voor het eerst kennis maakten met gas en dan hun zakdoek helemaal vol met urine en dat tegen hun gezicht hielden om een beetje verschoond te blijven van de gevolgen van het gasaanval. It was new that the Germans take gas at the war.
Yes, yeah, it was an experimental weapon, quite deadly. You could suffer, a lot of men could suffer quite harsh injuries within a short period of time of being exposed. Exactly, yes, yeah. From things like mustard gas, especially, chlorine gas. So it was very, very effective. And eventually, when both sides started to use it, it saw a bit of a decline because neither side wanted to use it on each other. So, yeah, interesting.
Ja, hier ook weer een beetje nagemaakt, een beetje een loopgraf nagemaakt. Zoals we dat ook in andere musea vinden. En we lopen nog steeds met James Scott hier door het museum. In de volgende uitzending lopen we even verder, want dit is de speciale afdeling over de Eerste Wereldoorlog. Alle informatie kunt u vinden op de site van het Royal Engineering Museum en op de site van Visit Kent, visitkent.co.uk. Ze hebben ook een eigen site. Is het frontlinekent.co.uk?
Frontline Kent, that's, yes, you can visit that site. It gives you a lot of information on Kent's involvement in the First World War.
Also to the museum.
There will be mention of the museum, yeah. You can also visit our website for more information, which is www.re-museum.co.uk, where we have details of our exhibits and talks and things like that. So.
Okay.